And let's head out to the McLaren Health Plan phone line and talk with our next guest. Judy Putnam is with the Michigan League for Human Services. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Tony.
You got that cup of coffee right there next to you?
Just started it, yep.
I wanted to talk to you about a release of information that the league sent out. Public assistance falls in nearly all counties in fourth quarter 2011. Well, we knew that was going to happen because funding has been occurring over the course of this whole budget year.
Right, right. So it's a little bit of a cloudy picture because unemployment has dropped in all counties. And so that's the good part of the release. We track these trends and release a report every quarter on public assistance and cash assistance, food assistance, unemployment, and so forth, just to kind of keep a handle on what's going on. So the unemployment drop is good, but the drop in public assistance far outstrips what you might expect because of an improving economy. And that's because of policies that have been implemented to look back over time and retroactively apply time limits on cash assistance. And we have a new asset limit on food assistance.
You know, we knew that there were going to be cuts because there's been cuts across the board in the governor's last budget and this current budget. But when you look at the numbers at some of the counties around the state, I didn't know the cuts were as significant as this information shows, especially counties like Cass, where they received a 45.8% cut. Those are pretty deep. I was wondering, where does Ingham County stand in this?
Well, I have to look up Ingham County here, so let's keep talking and I will do that. Ingham County doesn't tend to be as dramatic because it did not have as many long-term families on cash assistance as, say, like Wayne or Muskegon or Kent County. I'm sorry, Genesee County. So...
Well, as I mentioned, the cuts are a lot deeper, I think, than most people realize.
Yes. There's been a lot of confusion about this, Tony, because there's really two time limits. There was one that the legislature passed, and they did it pretty quickly, but at least there was some public discussion of it. But the Snyder administration also applied its own time limits. And we'd like to point out that there was no monetary or legal reason for doing that. We do have federal dollars to cover these families. It's still available in our budget. It's it seems to be driven by a philosophical desire to end cash assistance for these families. And another point of contention is that legislators and even some in the Snyder administration have said this. We've seen a letter. They said they protected families caring for a disabled child or spouse. That is not true. Those families were caught under the 60-month limit, and the department told a publication that there had been some 700 families cut recently who were caring for a disabled child or spouse. We don't know exactly how many of these cases were cut due to these time limits, but we do know that as the department releases its monthly reports, as you said, like in Cass County, there are very dramatic drops.
And it looks like it's 19.1% in Ingham County, which is lower than many of I'd say it's not in the top 10, according to the numbers that I see. You know, Judy, we keep coming back to the fact, and I guess I keep trying to understand this. A lot of people lost money in last year's budget. Education, higher education, we could go on and on and on. We have more people in need because of the high unemployment rate and the situation we had with the housing industry. I understand that. But bottom line is, where do we get the money to fund these programs?
Well, this is an easy one, and I can answer that. We have a block grant, a federal block grant. It's called a TANF block grant, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, that is to be spent on programs for low-income people. At the league, we consider cash assistance a core service because it pays for rent and utilities for families with children who have little or no income. So what's happening is these families are being removed from the rolls, and we don't know exactly what's happening to them. We do know some are in major trouble. The department has not really said how they're tracking these families, but we do have money, and we can take this money and spend it on other things and kind of backfill, like, for example, it has been used this year to pay for some college programs that the state had funded previously out of general fund. So we can keep moving the money around, or we can spend it on core functions and maybe have a more reasonable time limit, have a time limit that has rules that people know what they're getting into, and not just look back over time and eliminate families out of the blue. So there are options, and we do have money.
Judy, we have talked with the leaders of several tech companies from around the mid-Michigan area, especially in that corridor from Detroit to Ann Arbor. And from what I understand, there's more than 70,000 high-tech, high-paying jobs available, but they can't find the workers to fill them because they don't have the proper training. So if we have these type of jobs and the unemployment rate seems to be holding, what can we do to try and match up a job training for people who are on assistance so that they could get off of assistance?
Well, that's a great question, Tony. And, you know, we had the No Worker Left Behind program, but we've cut funding for that. We've also dramatically cut adult education in our state. So we have not been paying attention to that issue. We're just mostly leaving it up to people's own devices to get that training, and it doesn't work that way.
Well, what can we do to help them?
Well, at the league, we really advocate for, one, for investing again in adult education for folks who have not gotten the education for whatever reason they needed in the K-12 system, because you can't get, you know, into these kind of training programs if you don't have basic math skills and basic reading skills, right? So we need to start there. We're also advocating for more of an emphasis in our higher education funding formulas to recognize low-skill individuals who are already in the workplace, and as well as low-skill young adults like who receive Pell Grants. So make that part of the funding formula. You know, schools that try to help those individuals, let's give them more credit when we divide up the funding pie.
All right, Judy, I've got about 30 seconds left. Do you anticipate that funding will be increased for the next budget?
No, but there was a lawsuit with the cash assistance cutoff that does give us an opportunity. We were not part of the lawsuit, but the judge did say the department had overstepped its authority in applying the 60-month limit. So if these families do go back on cash assistance and a higher court doesn't stop that, we do know we have the money available in the TANF dollars that are now surplus dollars to pay for them while we figure this out.
Our listeners can go to the website for the Michigan League for Human Services. The Economic Security Bulletin is full of information. Judy, we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony.